It is time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are past the startling reds, although there are some beautiful reds out there right now. You have to look a little bit lower. The most of the red maples in this area have shed their leaves. What with the strong winds we've had and that heavy rain, I had almost an inch of rain on Sunday night, Monday morning, 95 hundredths at my house. That, coupled with the strong winds, have helped the trees release their leaves. The ground is crunchy underfoot, and the smell of the decay, the breakdown of those plants, those plant parts, those leaves, is, I won't say overpowering, but it is just, I don't know, it's wonderful. It's just the best smell in the world as far as I can say. Well, I don't know, maybe baking bread is a little bit better, but golly, it's pretty darn nice. So the reds out there that are still there are comprised of a couple of interesting plants, and one is blueberry. The blueberry plants are gaining redness every day, becoming redder and redder as the season goes along. And next to them, and probably in some ways outshining them, are the blackberries. The blackberries start off sort of this deep green, and then they start to fade, and they go to almost a purple. Well, it is a purple. It's a deep, deep purple, maybe a burgundy. And then they sort of morph into this red. And right now there are patches of blackberries out there that just, they drag your eye away from the road and just refuse to let you look away. They're so gorgeous. And so you have blueberries, and then you have the blackberries. The raspberries are in there, and they're red as well. And here and there, there are still these singular downy arrowwoods. I was out in the woods on Saturday, and I was just kind of wandering around. And here and there, I would see these little shrubs. Downy arrowwood never gets very tall. 6 feet tall would be a tall downy arrowwood. And still they have these red or burgundy leaves on them. They're really quite pretty. And the red osier dogwood, which has bright red stems and a sort of a pinkish leaf as the season progresses, the dogwood leaf goes from red or burgundy to almost pink. And so there are, those comprise a lot of the reds. Now, I work in a bog, and so I get a chance to look at some other plants that you may not be as familiar with. And one of those plants is a plant called leatherleaf. And leatherleaf is a bog plant, and right now about half of the leaves on the leatherleaf are red. And in this setting where they are in some places the predominant shrub below the black spruce and the tamaracks, the leatherleaf are just stunning. The other day, Sunday, in the sunlight, the red leaves on the leatherleaf were just fantastic. It was beautiful. And then you couple that with that almost blue-green of a black spruce and the bright yellow of the tamarack, and it was just overwhelming. It was, it made me pause and enjoy. So check those out. Lots of things going on there. If you move from the red part of the spectrum into the yellows, you're going to see lots of aspens. The trembling aspens are quite yellow right now. Their progeny, if you are in an area where aspens have been logged, there are these young aspens that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 feet tall, and some of them have leaves that are as big as a pie. And this is their way of maximizing the amount of energy that they can gather and store so that they can be the aspen that succeeds. And if you drive by an area where there's been logging, these things are just as thick as hair on a dog. And they are covered in leaves right now that are a mixture of yellow and green. And they will actually persist even longer than the adult or mature aspens, because they are in this race to be the replacement tree in an area where the logging has happened. So look at the aspen whips. They are doing pretty well down low in areas where logging has occurred. If there is no logging, aspens don't regen in an area because they have a signal that they send to their roots and say, you know what, we're doing fine here. Do not grow any new suckers. But if you cut that tree down, suddenly that signal is gone and the roots just begin to throw up these suckers everywhere. Hundreds of them emerge and race to be the replacement aspen in that area. So check that out. It's kind of interesting. The other yellow out there, birch, is pretty yellow right now. And in the shrub layer, while the hazels have dropped their leaves and most of the other shrubs have dropped their leaves, those that remain are typically willow, because the willows have a phenology that keeps their leaves on the trees a bit longer. And of course, the aspens are in the willow family, so it makes sense. But the actual willows are doing pretty well. And as you're driving along this morning, if you're seeing these little rounded clumps of green and yellow leaves, it is probably a species of willow. And since there are, I don't know, 18 willow shrub species in Minnesota, and probably 11 or 12 occur in Itasca, St. Louis, Beltrami, Hubbard, Crow Wing, Aiken, Cooch, Lake of the Woods counties, you have lots of options in terms of figuring out who is who. So check out the willows. They're doing really well out there right now. There are the big tooth aspen generally has a little bit different phenology than the trembling aspen, in that it leafs out later in the spring. So the trembling aspen comes out about the 1st of May, and usually about the 20th of May, the big tooth aspen comes out. And in the fall, the trembling aspen's leaves turn yellow and drop, and then the big tooth aspen leaves start to turn yellow and will fall. But sometimes, and in years like this, you can get these patches of big tooth aspens that take on a kind of an orange or red. And in one year, I remember seeing this one big tooth aspen, and it had leaves that looked like they were blaze orange. They were that bright. There is a beautiful patch of big tooth aspen north of Grand Rapids on Highway 38, just before you get to a little bait store there called God's Country. There's a patch off to the south of the road there, and it is just stunning. And it is a clonal patch. They color at the same time. They emerge in the spring at the same time. They're all related. It's a big patch of mature big tooth aspen, and every year they are just one of the last to drop its leaves, and they are spectacular. So check those out. And finally, what I'd like to mention in terms of phenology are all of the introduced species. As I sit here at the KAXE studios and look out the window, there are river birch right in front of me, Betula nigra, and that is not a native tree to northern Minnesota. And it comes from some other area, and it has a different phenology. Weeping willow is another that has a different phenology. Lombardy poplar, another that has a different phenology. These are non-native trees planted here. Cottonwoods, a non-native to this area, although there are perhaps a few cottonwoods that grow along river bottoms. But if you see cottonwoods growing up away from a river, like the Mississippi, Chances are somebody planted that tree, and those trees, the cottonwoods right now are sort of a mixture of yellow and green, but still greener than you'd expect something to be this time of year. Those introduced species bring with them a phenology from usually an area south of here, and so they are later in turning. And you can observe that as you're driving around or walking around. If you see a tree growing in somebody's yard especially, and if it is still remarkably green, chances are it's not a native tree. It's something that someone planted in this area, and it has resulted in something with a little bit different phenology, so it's a little bit slower to turn. Among the animals, I'm still seeing lots of dying skunks and raccoons as mom and dad drive them away from, well, as mom drives them away from herself in preparation for winter. And as they get out and start exploring the world, they typically end up as roadkill. And it's kind of a sad thing, but it's what happens to small animals who are not used to, who have not evolved to appreciate the nature of cars and roads. I saw a couple of American woodcock. I was walking with my dog, and she was kind of off in a different direction, and I looked under this white spruce, and I saw this familiar outline, long, long beak and a kind of a rounded head on a stout little body. And right about that moment, the dog reappeared and dashed in there, and two woodcock flush from there, so that was kind of exciting. It's always fun to see them. Really interesting little critters. I put together a short list of flowers that were still in bloom in my yard or in my neighborhood. Common evening primrose, smooth aster, dandelions, wood sorrel, white sweet clover, and hoary alyssum among the ones that I came across. Red clover, another one that I saw. So still some flowers left, and it's always interesting to just make a note of what flowers are still in bloom as we end the season. And so kind of fun. And finally, and I mentioned this earlier, but I think it's worth repeating, Barb and Ken Zimmer, who live up on Wabana Lake, reported a flock of evening grosbeaks at their feeder. And many of us, those of us who've lived here a long, long time, remember back in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, that evening grosbeaks used to come here in huge numbers. Everybody had flocks of evening grosbeaks, black and white and yellow birds that would come to the feeder and spend the winter. And so it is encouraging that they actually had a flock come to their feeder. And I hope and pray that some show up at my house one day. That would be a pretty exciting moment for me. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have comments or observations you'd like to share, please get in touch with us.